Let's each pray to prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn from His Word and tell Him that you want to respond rightly to what He has for you today. God, I thank you that you, the God of the universe, our Maker, has revealed Himself to us. And not only that we can be in a relationship with you as our Father and us as your child, and you teach us the ways that you designed this life to be lived. It's a great privilege. And so God, if we have gotten off your path in any way, if whenever we do, pray that we would run back to you quickly, because it's such a great privilege. God, show us today if there's any ways that we need to do that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's study, there's a lot of imagery of walking a path. Up on the screen, there's a trail map of a popular hiking and mountain biking area that's nearby. I don't hike much, so I don't have a lot of personal illustrations about walking a path. But I do mountain bike, and I was mountain biking this area just a couple months ago. It was the very first time I'd ever gone out mountain biking by myself. I usually go with a group. And foolishly, because I don't go by myself for safety purposes, but for some reason I decided the very first time I go out by myself, I'm gonna go on a new trail. So I go on this new trail, and there's even more intersections than what's shown up here. This is like maybe half of the trails, and you see how these all interlock, and so you're always coming to intersections. Sometimes they have signs that tell you, you know, where you're headed. Sometimes they don't. Well, this trail that I was on didn't have many, and so I was having to stop and look at my map all the time. And I just got sick of that, so I'm like, I'll find my way. You know, I end up on the complete backside. Like, I started, where is it? I started over there. I ended up on the complete backside all the way over here, out of water, and my legs started cramping. And it was because when I realized I was on the wrong path, I didn't turn around. So, about 3 weeks ago, I was out riding again. This time I was with some friends, but they were dusting me, as they often do. And so I couldn't see them, and I went off on a wrong trail again. There, like I said, sometimes there's signs tell you which way you're going. There wasn't a sign here. I went off on the wrong trail. About maybe 200 yards into it, I realized I was going the wrong way because I could see down the trail and no friends. And so this time, what did I do? I turned around, and I went back to the right trail immediately. That is what we should do in life. We should pay close attention to the signs so that we're going the right way. And the signs for going the right way in life is God's Word. God graciously tells us what the right ways are to live this life. And if we realize that we're going down the wrong path of life, turn around immediately and go back to the right path, which is life with the Lord and living His ways. So we're going to study God's Word. Please open your Bible to the book of Hosea. Open about to the middle if you haven't been here a bunch in Hosea, and start flipping toward the back. Go past Daniel and then Hosea. And we're in the last chapter, chapter 14. So we've been learning for months that in the time of Hosea, the people of Israel were not following the Lord. They weren't even trying to go His ways in life. They were in all kinds of sin, and in fact, they loved their sin, Hosea has presented, and were doing life their own ways. And the Lord was going to punish them because of it. But despite all that, despite how far down the wrong path they had gone, despite how greatly they had sinned, the Lord was still willing to allow them to come back to Him. And if they would return to the Lord and forsake their sin, the Lord would receive them. He would take away the punishments for their sin. He would love them and bless them. This is consistent with how the Bible says the Lord is throughout all the pages of the Bible. When we repent and we come back to the Lord and His ways, He receives us and restores us. Please look at Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, while I read. Turn, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity except what is good, that we may present the sacrifice of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you, Lord, the orphan finds mercy. So verse 1 says, turn, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. This pictures walking down a path, headed to a specific place. Picture it. Picture you walking down a pathway, headed somewhere. And you split off on the wrong trail that's not headed to where you're going. When you realize you're on the wrong trail, what should you do? Often you need to turn around and go back to the right trail, or you're going to end up in a bad place, like I did. That is the picture here. Israel had gotten off of the Lord's path onto a sinful path, their own path, and the destination they were headed for was punishment. They needed to turn around and go back to the Lord in His ways. We call that repentance. Repentance is turning. It's turning away from our own sinful ways, but not just turning away from our sinful ways, turning back to the Lord and His ways. Israel stumbling also draws on this walking a path analogy. To stumble is a metaphor for something that makes it difficult to follow the Lord. If we're walking down the path of the Lord and something is put in our way by somebody else or ourselves, it makes it difficult to keep walking down the path. Israel had stumbled, it says, because of their iniquity. That's another word for sin. So in other words, they had put their own sin in their own way. That's why they weren't walking with the Lord anymore. They were pursuing sin, and it had tripped them up, so they stopped walking down the path of the Lord. Sometimes when we sin, even if we want to go back to the Lord and His ways, we don't. Because we feel like He may not receive us. We may feel guilty or ashamed or unworthy of the Lord. But listen, don't let those feelings keep you from returning to the Lord. Because the truth is, the Lord is ready to receive you back and forgive you. Always. Think about it. Israel was in absolutely horrible sin. They had completely severed their ties with the Lord and walked away from Him. And yet the Lord was saying right here, He was offering to receive them back and forgive them. So no matter what bad things you've gotten into, the Lord is willing to receive you back and forgive you. How we get back on the right path with the Lord is similar to what Hosea said to Israel in verse 2. He starts out, we're going to go through this like phrase by phrase. He starts out, take words with you and return to the Lord. So Israel had gone way the wrong direction, away from the Lord, and He's telling them to go back. And He says, pack your words. Pack your words and go back to the Lord. What should we do when we've wronged a person? We should talk to them. Try to make it right. Don't just sweep it under the rug. We need to talk. Most people sweep it under the rug. They don't want to have to do the conflict. And I'll tell you, Christians are the best at this. Because we go, oh, I'll just forgive them in my heart. That does not heal relationship. I've seen it too many times. It's false. We need to go and talk. The Bible says this consistently. Whether you're the person who is wronged or you're the person who has been wronged, the Bible tells us go. We need to go and we need to talk. Well, we are to do that with the Lord. Take our words and go to Him. Talk to Him to make it right. Hosea gives an example of what we would say, or what Israel would say, to the Lord. First he says, we should say, or Israel should say, take away all iniquity. So they were to ask the Lord to remove or forgive their sin. Hosea suggests also saying, accept what is good. It's not clear what that refers to. Many believe it's just talking about the Lord accepting them as coming back to Him, because the very act of coming back to the Lord, that act itself is good. And so basically you're saying, Lord, me coming back is a good thing. Accept it. Hosea suggested also to say that we may present the sacrifice of our lips. This verb here translated as present, or in your translation maybe pay, basically means to recognize wrong that has been done and do what is necessary or pay what is necessary to make it right. So like back then, you know, you accidentally killed somebody's cow or killed their cow on purpose or whatever, it cost that guy $100, you give him $100 so that he can get a new cow. So you're recognizing, I did that, it was wrong, making it right. Israel was to ask the Lord to accept them coming back and talking to Him and asking His forgiveness as the way to make it right. Like, there's nothing that we can do for the Lord. There's nothing no way we can fix our sin with the Lord. So the way that we fix it is just with our words. Talk to Him. They were to ask Him that would be the way to make it right. Verse 3 continues the words that Israel should have said in repentance. This would be them vowing to give up ways that they had been depending upon other things than the Lord. We've seen these all, the three that are represented here are the most common three we've seen throughout Hosea. They were dependent on foreign alliances, they were looking to their military power, and they were looking to false gods. And so Hosea says, just drop all those. Give them all up. So Israel have their bag. They're going away from the Lord. And they're filling it with all kinds of things that were their own ways, things that were against the Lord. And they had gotten a long ways away from the Lord. And basically, Hosea here says, or he just says, drop it. Give up all those things that you've been depending upon instead of the Lord. And just come back with your meager little words. But that's what the Lord wants. And finally, they should say, for in you, Lord, the orphan finds mercy. An orphan is one who has nothing, who's alone. And if Israel gave up all those things that they had been depending on, they might feel like they had nothing. They might feel like they're alone. But in that position, they would find mercy from the Lord. The Lord would tenderly come pick them up like an orphan child, take them in and care for them. We shouldn't depend on politicians or our nation or wealth or our want to get wealthy, our hopes for prosperity. We shouldn't depend on anything but the Lord. We often sin because we're looking for something to make us happy. We're looking to put something in our bag that makes us feel good, to make us feel powerful, to make us get more money. But when we give up depending on those things, we might feel like we have nothing. So many times, I've had somebody in my office and we're talking about sin. They're seeing from God's Word that they need to give up something. Maybe it's anger, or maybe it's sarcasm. And I've heard this response more times than I can count. But that's who I am. And I've said the same response to every single person. I remember even when I was associate pastor saying this to someone. That's not who you are. That is not who God made you to be. That's sin that's attached itself to you. And you need to slough it off so that you can go be what the Lord wants you to be. And so when we give up depending on all these things we've been depending on and trying to be who we think we needed to be, we might feel like we have nothing. But if we're coming to the Lord and dependence upon Him, we have the most important thing, the Lord, and Him to take care of us and bless us. Verses 4 through 8 record what would be the Lord's response to Israel if they were to repent and confess, like we've been discussing. Please look at verses 4 through 8 while I read. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again raise grain, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to go over again about idols? It is I who have answered, and I lie in wait for you. I am like a green tree. From me comes your fruit. The Lord says, I will heal their apostasy. There's a lot built into the wording here. This pictures the people of Israel had turned away from the Lord. And this word apostasy, it pictures ripping bonds apart. They had completely ripped any bonds apart that they had with the Lord. And they left Him. But if they returned to Him, the Lord would, this word heal, He would mend. It pictures sewing back together. The Lord would mend, He would sew back together their relationship. And He says, I will love them freely. This word freely refers to gladly doing something, not out of duty, but because a person wants to. In the Old Testament, this word usually referred to free will offerings. So most of you know there were certain financial obligations that Israel had that they had to give. Like most of us know, the tithe. They had to tithe. It was required. Everybody had to do it or they were in trouble. But there were these times in the Old Testament where Israel was offered an opportunity to come and give freely, like to build the temple, for example. And there was no requirement whatsoever. It was a free will offering. Do it if you want. Don't do it if you want. Whatever's in your heart, do that. That's this word that the Lord says, I would love them freely. He wanted to, not out of obligation. It pictures the Lord ready and waiting to love the people if they would just return to Him. The Lord would say, for my anger has turned away from them. As we've seen in Hosea time and time again, the Lord was angry for the ways that Israel had turned away from Him, and He was going to punish them harshly for their depravity. But if they repented and confessed, the Lord would turn away His anger from him, which implies no more punishment. Not only would the Lord not punish them, the Lord would restore the people of Israel and be good to them. Verses 5 and 6 contain images of that. It's very dry in the summer in Israel, and dew apparently helps sustain the plants and the crops, so not only so that they don't die, but so that the fruit can finish ripening. Not only that, dew pictures refreshing. The Lord would refresh Israel if they would come back to Him. And flowers being able to blossom is a pretty universal symbol of life and beauty. The flower blossoming in the spring is coming out of what kind of season? winter, right? Desolation, like things have gone dormant, things have died, things are brown. Israel had been in a really desolate season because of their sin. But if they came back to the Lord, He would make them blossom. Lebanon was a fertile region which allowed these mighty cedar trees to grow. If Israel came back to the Lord, He would restore their fertility and their strength that they had been losing. His shoots will sprout, pictures new growth. I had these two like tree bushes in my backyard, and in the middle of last, and they had been growing for years and years. I grew them from little guys, and they had grown into like 10-foot tall like bush tree things. And in the middle of last summer, we went on vacation, and while we were on vacation, our watering system broke in July. And I'm lucky that our entire landscape didn't die, but those two trees turned completely brown and didn't come back for months. And so this spring I had our landscape guy just cut them off at the ground. And so there were just stumps left. But I kept watering them, and spring came around, and shoots started to come up out of the roots and out of the stumps that were there. And now I got two bush trees again. One of them is like this big around, and it's taller than me, and it's beautiful green. That is a picture of what the Lord would do with Israel if they returned to Him. And it's a picture of what the Lord will do with us when we return to Him. His beauty will be like the olive tree, and His fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. There are many hills in Israel. I can imagine standing up on one of those hills in Israel, as I did, and looking out all over all the green and health trees, and just taking a big, apparently cedars, when they're in season, they give off a fragrant aroma when they're healthy. I can just imagine standing on one of those hills and looking over all the green and smelling the fragrance of the healthy plants. It conjures feelings of pleasure, goodness, satisfaction. This is all about the life and health and pleasantness and prosperity which would come to Israel if they came back to the Lord in confession and repentance. It's kind of quite a contrast to the death, destruction, and devastation that was promised to them if they continued to walk away from the Lord. You know, the Lord has the same character today that He did back then. And so His response to our confession and repentance is very similar. Verse 7 seems to speak of how Israel would benefit others, and they would be famous once again, like Israel once was, for their prosperity under the care of the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord says to Israel, in my interpretation, I don't want to go over the wrong worship of idols with you again. He'd addressed that at length by Hosea. And so it seems like the Lord was done pointing out their wrongs. Now He just told them how He would respond if they did come back. If they would come to Him in confession and repentance, how He would receive them and forgive them and all the good that He would do for them. And so now the Lord just says, I'm watching. I'm waiting for your response. The Lord refers to the northern kingdom of Israel again as Ephraim. And this name Ephraim throughout Hosea has often referred to rebellion, representing the whole kingdom of northern Israel, because Ephraim was the one that rebelled and took the northern kingdom away from the southern kingdom and split things. So it's usually stood for rebellion, but here the Lord seems to use the name Ephraim for a different purpose. The Hebrew word translated at the end of verse 8 as fruit. It says that their fruit only comes from the Lord. The Hebrew word translated as fruit is the root word of the name Ephraim. Because centuries earlier, Joseph had named his second son Ephraim, and Joseph said it was, quote, because God made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And so the Lord draws upon this name Ephraim, which for them they would consider your name is like who you are. And so the Lord draws upon that to make a point He's saying to them, you can only be what you're supposed to be in the Lord. You can only be fruitful, which is produce good things in the Lord. Just like I told you a minute ago, how I tell these people, the things that you think that you've been, the things that are really sin and are this persona that you put on, if you strip that off and start walking the Lord's ways, here's the other side of what I tell them. He's going to make you into the Lisa that He meant you to be. He's going to make you into the Steve that He meant you to be. This isn't who you were meant to be. This is the sin-covered you. But He made you to be something that He wants you to be, and He's going to make you more and more into that as you walk with Him. But you can only be that. You can only be what you were meant to be in the Lord. You can only produce good fruit in the Lord. Hosea finishes his challenge to his readers, encouraging, are you wise? Asking, are you the wise? Look at verse 9 while I read. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. So Hosea has completed his message from the Lord. Whoever was wise among Israel would give themselves to understanding and considering what has been said. When somebody's given a message that's from the Lord, the hearer who is wise will think about and ponder what is said in order to learn the full lesson and to try to live out what they've learned in that lesson. A fool is glad that the teaching's over and they can't wait to get back to doing life their way. It begs us to ask, which am I? But more important than who you've been is where you go from here. And so, who do you want to be? The imagery goes back to the path-walking analogy. The ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord tells us to live, leads us down the right path of life. It tells us the right ways to live, the way that God designed life to be lived. He knows because He made it. And so the ways that He tells us to go in His Word are the ways that are right, the ways that are good. And it says the righteous will walk in them. So those who are trying to follow the Lord, when they hear the Lord's ways, they want to follow His ways. But transgressors will stumble in them. Transgression is another word for sin. But the word transgression emphasizes that these people have broken away from the Lord. When somebody is broken away from the Lord and they don't want to follow Him, when they hear His ways, it trips them up. They don't like it. So get this, the person who wants to follow the Lord and the person who doesn't want to follow the Lord can hear the very same message from God's Word and have totally different responses. To the one, it's like the messenger gave them a treasure map because it's going to lead them to ways to live better, to help their life. But to the other, it's like the messenger stuck out his foot and tripped them, because they're on the wrong path and it made them realize they're on the wrong path. They're falling down. And so which is it for you? When you hear God's Word, is it like a treasure map? Or is it like you got tripped? Like I said a moment ago, where you've been is not the most important thing. It's where you're going to go. So which kind of person do you want to be? I'm going to make three applications of today's theme of confession and repentance. One or more of these does apply to you, I promise. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ at all, if you've not trusted Him even for salvation, you can turn to Him today and find life. Life in two ways. One, He will give you eternal life, which is being in heaven with Him, and He will show you the path to right life on this earth. Just come to the Lord with trust and express your words in prayer. Confess to Him that you know you're a sinner and that you want to be forgiven. Trust that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He will take away your sin and the punishment that comes from it. He will love you as a child, and He will help you blossom into what you were made to be if you will live with Him. Now, if you've trusted Jesus for salvation and you have not been walking with Him, you've been broken away from the Lord, you've gone your own way into sin, then return to the Lord your God. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Confess your sin to Him. Like the words in here. God, I recognize that I've done wrong. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And He will forgive you. And He will take away your punishment. He will mend your broken relationship with Him. And then live His ways. And you will see good come into your life. And those of us who trust Jesus and we're trying to follow Him, we're going to make mistakes. We don't intend to sin, but we do. When you do that, every time, because we're going to do it mistakenly for the rest of our lives, confess it to the Lord right away. I try to do that whenever I realize that I've sinned, do it immediately. I know that I miss some of those moments, so I've made a practice of every day I review my previous day and try to find ways that I might have sinned so that I can confess those and just heal things back with the Lord, because He says that He forgives us and cleanses us every single time that we do that. 1 John 1:9 teaches that when we confess our sins, He will forgive us of our sins and He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Then give yourself to walk in the right path. Again. Also, when you hear God's word, contemplate how to follow it. We can be like kids whose parents sit them down to give them a lesson, and the kids are having to sit there and listen. And the second the parent's done giving the lesson, the kid just can't wait to get back up and go watch TV. We can be like that. But instead, when we hear God's word, we should go away and think about it carefully, about what was said and how to put it into practice in our lives. Because it leads us down the right path. It leads us to good. So what kind of person do you want to be? Let's each pray to apply what we learned today. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, will you trust Him now? Confess to Him that you know you're a sinner and that you want to be forgiven. Tell Jesus that you trust Him as Lord and as your Savior. And all who trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, do you have some sin to confess to Him? Do it now. And will you now turn away from that sin and live the Lord's ways? If so, will you tell him that? Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us when we confess. You are faithful because you do it every single time. And you are just because Christ has already paid the penalty for our sins for those of us who trust him. I thank you for that, that in Christ, it's so simple for us to get forgiveness. And God, I pray for anybody who doesn't trust Christ that's hearing this, that you would be drawing them using your word and by your spirit, that they would trust you. That all of us would follow after you, knowing that your ways are good. They're not burdensome. The things that we've been carrying, the sins and maybe even rules, whatever it is that we've been carrying that's not your ways, that stuff's the burden. God, may we strip it off and come and follow you to life. It's in Jesus' name I pray, because it's in him that we have eternal life and we have real life here. And so we pray in the name of Christ, and all who agreed said, Amen.